Welcome to Scope It Out with Dr. Tim Smith. In this episode, Dr. Smith will be speaking with Dr. Justin Turner, Assistant Professor of Otolaryngology, Head and Neck Surgery, and Biomedical Engineering at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. They will be discussing the article, Efficacy of Olfactory Training in Patients with Olfactory Loss. This edition of Scope It Out is sponsored by an educational grant from Intersect ENT, developers of the Propel Mometasone Furoate Sinus Implant. Propel is the only FDA-approved, bioabsorbable implant designed to prop open the post-surgical ethmoid sinus and gradually deliver an advanced corticosteroid directly to the sinus lining over 30 days. Propel is clinically proven to improve post-operative outcomes by reducing the need for additional surgical procedures and systemic steroids, and is the only product in sinus surgery backed by Level 1A clinical evidence. Please visit www.propelopens.com for further information.
Hello, hello, and welcome everyone to Scope It Out. This is your host, Tim Smith, and I'm talking today with Justin Turner, who is on the faculty at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. And I've asked Justin to join me to talk about his article entitled Efficacy of Olfactory Training in Patients with Olfactory Loss. It's a systematic review and meta-analysis. Justin, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tim. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. So first, I'm interested in what got you interested in this particular topic.
You know, for me, I think it was daily clinic and seeing a lot of these patients who have olfactory loss from a number of different causes and just the frustrations that I see with treating these patients.
Yeah, no, I have to say, I mean, when I walk into the patient's room and this is their chief complaint, it's almost like you feel completely incapable, impotent in terms of being able to
helpless,
help.
Yeah.
There are the patients that we see in practice who have absolute anosmia, and you ask them if that bothers them, and they say it doesn't bother them a bit for whatever reason. They've gotten used to it. They've shifted their threshold in terms of what they're willing to live with, right? And then there's this other group of patients who are almost incapacitated by the loss of their sense of smell and what problems that causes in their daily lives. So there's this dichotomy of patients, I find.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that those who will state that it doesn't bother them that much, I think in reality, it actually does. And I think if you ask them more directed questions about their daily life, it will come out in that conversation that it actually does bother them more than they may actually admit to you with a general question.
Yeah. No, there's probably some truth to that. I think that kind of gets to this concept of a shifting threshold. You know, your life goes on. Something happens and you kind of change your expectations as to how your life goes from that point on. And some of the quality of life research has demonstrated that. And I imagine it occurs in olfaction as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell me, what is olfactory training and what's it used for?
Well, it's a fairly newly described approach, which basically just involves exposure to odors on a fairly regular basis, in a kind of use it or lose it hypothesis. And so in most of the studies that have looked at this, patients essentially smell different odorants a few times a day over an extended period of time, usually over a period of months, with the idea that this repeated exposure to these odorants will actually improve the sense of smell.
Based on your results, can you treat all types of olfactory loss with this, or is it just certain types of it?
You know, I think it's unclear, but it looks like it probably is effective for multiple etiologies. So this particular study where we sort of tried to gather all of the existing studies that have looked at olfactory training, we found that there were about four or five different etiologies that were included. The vast majority of the studies primarily focused on patients with post-infectious or post-viral olfactory loss and those with post-traumatic loss, but there were others that included with Parkinson's disease, advanced age, and those with idiopathic loss. By and large, it looks that for most of these causes that there is some improvement with the majority of these studies.
Even with olfactory loss in neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's, still there's some potential utility of this.
Possibly, yeah. And, you know, I think that certainly more studies are going to be required, because one limitation with our systematic review is that there really weren't enough studies, and there weren't enough patients and individual studies that really allowed to compare between etiologies. Is olfactory training more effective in patients with X type of olfactory loss as opposed to Y olfactory loss? So I think that's going to require some further study.
Do you have a sense from reviewing this entire literature that there's one type of olfactory loss that would particularly respond to this? Or it's still an open question?
I think in general, there probably needs to be some sort of existing communication between the olfactory epithelium and the cortex. So I think in particular, patients with severe post-traumatic olfactory loss likely are not going to get any benefit, the same way that they don't get benefit for most other interventions.
Right.
And I think one of the interesting things about this study and those that have been done is that when you look at the actual outcome measures and you look at the discrimination and identification and threshold scores, what these suggest is that the improvement doesn't seem to be at the level of the olfactory epithelium, but it actually seems to be more central. It's more centrally mediated, so that it's more than likely processing that's improved rather than the actual function of the olfactory tract itself.
Then that makes sense that the traumatic patient really wouldn't have, traumatic olfactory loss really wouldn't have any improvement, because their circuits are cut more or less at the peripheral level and they don't have any signal to process.
Absolutely. Now, that being said, there were four different studies that included patients with post-traumatic olfactory loss, and they did seem to show a significant improvement in olfactory function with training. I suspect that most of those patients had some sort of traumatic brain injury that didn't involve shearing of the olfactory nerves. And so they still have an intact tract, and so they can still theoretically get improvement.
Interesting. Should we, as otolaryngologists, start putting this into our daily practice? Are we there yet?
I think we should, because there's really very little downside to doing it. It's not an invasive procedure. It essentially just involves smelling things. And so synthetic extracts and oils that are used are easily available. They're inexpensive. And the training can be done at home by the patient.
Let's take a 46-year-old woman who has a post-viral anosmia from a URI she had 6 months ago, and she's really had no recovery during that time. What in the clinic would you tell her to do, and how would you counsel her with regard to the possible outcomes?
So I typically will give a list of odorants or essential oils that they can get, and I sort of show them where to get them. They're available at natural food stores, and they're easily available in multiple places online. And there's essentially four categories that are generally focused on in most studies. That's things that have a flowery scent, those that are resinous, spicy, and fruity. So things like lemon, cloves, eucalyptus, different flower scents. And I just tell them, just go get these oils and just smell each one for about 15 to 30 seconds at a time. Do it in the morning and do it in the evening. And do this
one
for several
right after
months.
The other. One smell right after the other.
Yeah, well, I mean, I tell them to take a little bit of break, and I think, you know, just do this over 5 minutes or so each morning, and just sort of give yourself a period of time to do this, and just set aside a portion of your day. And I don't think that there's any rule that says you need to do it this way, because actually many of the studies are somewhat variable in the sort of the number of times that it's done each day and the length of time that you smell each odorant. So I just say, just smell these essential oils, do this, you know, a couple times a day, and do it for this many months, and just see what happens. And in terms of outcomes, you know, I kind of just use what the results of the study are, which show that it does give some improvement for some patients. And that percentage is a little bit unclear, because a lot of patients with no intervention will have some spontaneous recovery. And I think the one thing that we don't know, and I will tell this to patients, is that we don't know what the duration of this improvement. I don't think we're sure what happens after the olfactory training and whether you need to continue it or not. So I always tell patients about that.
This is great stuff, because as we said, these are patients who are looking for something. Sounds like physical therapy of the olfactory nerve system, right?
That's right.
It just fundamentally makes sense that it would potentially help things. And like you said, the downside risk to this has to be about as minimal as it gets. And I look forward to incorporating it more in my practice, and I appreciate your elucidating this for all of us through your review and meta-analysis, for sure.
Well, it's my pleasure, and then I do want to just acknowledge my co-authors, Kelly Pakala and Rick Chandra, on this.
Oh, great. Yeah, give them my congrats as well. And listen, Justin, thanks for taking the time to talk to me today, and I look forward to seeing you somewhere in the world soon.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, Tim.
Absolutely. And thanks to everybody for listening to this episode of Scope It Out. I'll be looking for more articles to do podcasts on here as we move forward, and hope that you'll tune in once again. Thanks again, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. Scope It Out with Dr. Tim Smith is a co-production of the International Forum of Allergy and Rhinology and Wiley. It was directed, edited, and coordinated by Joe Troiano, with voiceover by Anne-Marie Alvarez and music by Alex Ramsdell. All opinions in this podcast are those of Dr. Smith and his guests and do not necessarily reflect those of Wiley or the sponsors.